Today's show is brought to you by the Utah National Guard.
Dun, 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 dun.
I think if you want to serve your country and serve this great state, there's no better place to do it than Utah National Guard. And let me tell you why. Our producer, he's been gone. What do they call it? He does camp? Camp out?
They call them camp outs. 2 week camp out. They do it once a year. The rest of the time, it's a weekend camp out.
What do they call it? Like the Wee Blue camp out?
The
is that what it's called?
The big 2 week camp out. They send them up to Camp Williams. They camp out for a while. They don't really camp. They just kind of hang out during the day. They can go back to their houses. It's not as strict as you think. There's a lot of janitorial work going on. I don't fully understand like who ranks above whom within the Utah National Guard and what it signifies.
If I was in the Utah National Guard, the very first thing that I would do if I saw anyone in uniform, salute. I'd say thank you for your service, even though I was also them.
Here's the problem.
You better salute me too.
I always think a military training ground is the really intense version of that that I see on movies or think about in my mind. And I go, you run around with a rifle and stuff like that. Then you go to the actual ground. Camp Williams is a good example. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of janitors. Like they know how to mop.
Ooh.
It's like good sweepers, but like the good brooms because we got money that's poured into the
I'd
army.
Love to be trained on how to
do
that.
Like those big, the nice bristles and they're brooming along.
The nice ones.
Yeah, but they're all in uniform. They're all in uniform. So you see them and you go, okay, maybe the army's a little bit more lackadaisical.
Do
than
they get
I
down
thought.
To their skivvies? What does that mean?
That's at the nighttime brooming.
What does skivvies mean, Weston? Weston, though. They talk about skivvies a lot in the
skivvies are a big
military.
Thing. That's another thing, though, that you don't understand. But then you see it in person, you go,
is it just green
so
underwear?
Skivvies are just, yeah, the weird underwear. They're like chaste underwear.
Just green underwear? Skivvies? Who cares?
In case your uniform somehow is magically gone and you're in enemy territory in the jungle and you need to blend in. You have your skivvies.
Get down to our skivvies, boys.
Don't worry. And then you can, you know, you go swim around. I don't know. I don't know a lot of what goes on there.
I'm fascinated by military culture.
I think I'm upping. I think I'm re-upping.
You're going to get in.
Can you re-up if you haven't upped?
You're going to get in.
I think I'm getting in. 8 years.
I could see myself getting in for a quick light
tour.
I
applied for a big commanding officer post.
Whoa.
Not cool. One of the heavy honchos, but like the mid-levels. Mm. Pencil pusher.
I applied for chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. We'll see if I get it. We don't know.
You'd be my superior.
Oh, I'd be
me reporting in.
I'd be superior.
Officer Rawl here reporting for duty. The fellas brushed for 10 hours today. Skivvies, spotless.
As you were, soldier.
It's me with a bunch of generals. They're all like, we're worrying about bombs. What's this brooming stuff that's going
As
on in
As you
Utah?
Were, soldier.
As you were, corporal. Me? I rip out. I have the broom over my shoulder. I would be a great asset for a broom army.
That'd be cool.
Like if our thing was labor instead of war,
mm.
And we just came around, we're like, we're here to build a fence. And I'm like, let's get those posts over there and get up the wire.
I feel like I'd be good at like standing there watching. You know what I love to do? I love to stand around and watch other men do stuff.
Oh, I love to watch anything. Anybody do anything. I'll
like,
watch it.
If it's physical. Like if it's physical and like they're working with their hands.
Yeah.
I love seeing a man work with his hands. Back me up here, Kelly. You see a man working with
me
his hands.
Me and Weston just kind of nodding. Yeah.
I don't know. I can take it or leave it. But me and Kel, we love seeing a man. Like
some skivvy work?
Oh. By someone there, I've never seen the skivvies.
Skivvies out building a fence in a farm field or something.
Like if I see a guy like he's working on his truck, right, and he's got the hood open
oh,
and he's
the
in the
oil.
He's got the flashlight in his teeth. He's all down there. He's all greasy and everything, right?
He's got the brake fluid on his knees.
And I'm like, hey, what's going on? He's all, oh, the alternator. I'm like, I don't know what this is. Let me just sit here and watch. Don't talk to me.
You set up your chair, your folding chair, just sitting there. Drooling all over.
How do you even dare do that?
I think that's what the
obvious. Imagine trying to replace an alternator. First of all, you got to figure out what the hell that is, where it is, why it is, how it is, what it does, all those types of things.
Yeah, I don't have a good answer there.
And then you got to figure out, like, what do I got to do to take this out, and what do I got to do to put a new one in?
Yeah.
That is so impressive.
And the whole time, you're in your skivvies.
Well, I'm in my skivvies. They're in their regular clothes.
You're sitting there. You're probably wondering about why I'm in my skivvies over here. Don't worry about it. Keep on hitting that alternator.
Oh, these skivvies?
Don't worry about it.
The green undies?
Long story. You're just wearing green long johns.
I think it might snow today, huh?
This isn't a joke. The Army issue underwear, it's super chaste and long. And like, there's, it's
as
long.
It
it's like long johns.
Cover up.
It's cover up. It's full cover up. You know? It's not these, oh, we're some sexy army that's here to parade around for the whole world. No, 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 no,
no.
They're there on duty, fella. And this is why I'm upping.
I'd love to re-up.
If this show...
How do we get in? What do you got to do to get in?
Sign a few papers, dude. You get a bunch of money, too. You get rich. I remember the old...
What you got to do to get in.
The old Army recruiter back in the day when I was a Spanish Fork High School student, you know, and I was rudderless. I didn't have a lot of prospects, you know, and...
No, same as now.
And, yeah, same as now. Even at the time, I had less prospects, which will blow everybody's minds who know me now. They go, how can you have less than zero prospects that you currently have? You can go negative.
Yeah, you
little known
negative.
Fact. So me,
people were crossing you off the prospect list.
They're like, he's in uncharted waters.
Let's not even consider him a prospect.
So every once in a while, the Army, you know, they come to the school and they say, hey, we're going to round up all the finest lads and maybe we'll take on a project or two, mm-hmm. you know. And so me, they go, who's this portly little chili fella right here? Seems like he'd be a good mess hall cook. Something cool
oh,
like that.
Oh, the mess hall, the
yeah,
chili
like,
boy.
Exactly.
Burn hey, up chili cheese.
Burn up chili for the whole unit.
Hey, chili cheese, we're all getting our skivvies later.
They come in, they go, oh, Corporal Rhodes, it's famous chili day, it's Friday. And I'm back there just with the big pot. So they see me and they're like, you're a good candidate for the Army, you know. You probably will pass the physical. We haven't made sure of that yet. But, however... Don't even worry about that. You get a nice little signing bonus. You know, I can't remember what it was, but it was in the thousands of dollars at
no.
the time. Which for me.
How much is it?
Which for me, I didn't have any money. And so I'm going like, I could get $5,000 to go and cook chili for a bunch of strong dudes. That's, I mean, that's the dream.
Strong dudes in their skivvies?
Yeah, strong dudes in their skivvies. So then I take it back to my parents. I go, I found a direction. I'm up
like,
and in the United States Army.
You can't run.
They go, you spilled chili all over your sign-up papers. I can't even tell what the signing bonus is on here. And that's how my Army career came to an end. But the main point is it's never too late to get
join.
Back to something that you thought you could do.
Yeah, I think there is a cutoff.
Oh, never, okay.
There's an age cutoff.
There's not a lot of like 30.
I've looked into it.
There's not a lot of need for 34-year-old chili cooks in the Army.
I think you can at 34. I'm not sure if you can do it at 35. 34 is the cutoff.
I have 5 days. Oh, the heat's on! I go in on Friday the 26th. I go, listen up. I needed to make a life change. I got 1 day left. I know we're into more peacetime stuff right now. So what's like the cooking arrangement and how does that work? Is it like an assembly line style? Do you need a leader? Do you need a cog? I'm willing to do anything.
Get in here, private. I can tell you know your way around a chili bowl.
I really can't.
Anyway, our show is brought to you by the Utah National
Guard. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everybody going up. Go sign up.
And that is because Private Tanner, who's been gone for on a two-week camp out, a nice two-week camp out, just a nice break.
Eating like a king.
Think of it as Trek, but Army style.
Yeah.
For Utahns. That's what it is. He's back.
Mm-hmm.
He's at the helm. Kelly did really well.
Does that mean Kelly has received a demotion?
No.
So
promotion.
She's a promotion. So she's... The corporal.
She's private second class.
Oh.
He's private
first class. I think first class is better. Yeah.
Yeah. She's
ahead of him. Private first class. He's private second class.
I would say that she's ahead of him. That's all I know.
Where does the mess hall cook rank? Okay. It's down.
Low.
It's down.
Yeah. It's down.
Like, I just want to know who I can boss around and who I can get to salute me.
And now, let's be high. You are looking alive on a Monday. Boys at Monday. Boy, are you alive? My name is Clint Batts.
My name is Chris Roll.
So much going on in the world today, I can barely even handle it.
Freaking lay it on me, dude.
Have you ever woke up and you're like, oh man, there's a lot going on in this world?
Yeah, I wake up, I go,
in this world?
This is overwhelming. I don't even know how I'm going to make it through another day.
First thing I do when I wake up,
tweet.
I check Twitter.
Tweet.
What? Tweet.
Twit's kind of the way that I use Twitter. You know, it's not as participative. I'm using a lot of made-up words. I don't participate a lot on Twitter, so the twitting is like...
What are you talking about?
It's voyeurism on Twitter. That's twitting. Tweeting is when you actively participate. You make your voice heard in your anger. A twit is me. I sit there and I go, what's that going on over there? They're never going to hear me over here, but I'll find out what's going on.
Hey, you know that heftier fellow, what's his name? Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
He's the former president of the United States.
Okay. I'm aware of him, yeah.
You know about him. A little bit heftier.
He's a tweeter. Yeah, he's not the, like, ideal
COVID
physique.
COVID didn't get him.
He's not the ideal physique,
COVID
but he's alive as hell.
He's super alive.
He's way
he wears
alive.
The hat. He golfs. He's got...
A lot of Mickey D's.
Look, some of us are big boned.
Mm-hmm.
And that's him. I don't know why we're making fun of him.
Bone density is not something you can control.
Yeah.
Okay?
So anyways, this guy, you know, he's got the red hat and all that type of stuff. He's banned on all social media, as I understand it.
Yeah, he can't even tweet.
Yesterday, announcement. He's starting his own social media.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Here we go. What is it? What is it supposed to be?
I think it's called Hefty.
I'm already intrigued. Do you just get on...
Embrace your gluttonous.
Is it only...
Is the tagline.
Is it only hefty people are allowed on?
No.
Okay.
No.
It's not like Farmers Only.
Ooh.
Because Farmers Only is a cool idea. You go in there, you know exactly who you're getting in bed with, figuratively and literally. You go,
I really
want to
sign up for Farmers Only.
I know, but you can't because you're not a true... They have like a deep vetting process. So for Hefty, I'm sure it'd be the same thing if the cutoff is you're like portly, but you're not hefty. You're out. You're not welcome on this platform.
I do wonder what his rules are going
to be. Like some beef. It's only a beef platform.
What are the big guy's rules going to be for his social media? Like, what are the rules?
Is he the one building it?
He's in there coding. Soon as he left the White House.
101110.
Somebody get me another Mountain Dew.
He's just got rock stars crunched all over his desk. I think I'm just around the corner from the finishing product.
What should we do once they hit compose?
Some beta's gonna be released Friday. I don't...
What does that guy do ever?
Part of me likes this.
He lives a good life.
Part of me likes this because it will be funny. Part of me hates this because probably the most talking points that come out of it will be my least favorite kinds. Mm. If we could just all accept it for the grand humor experiment that it is, I'm sure it's gonna be super funny.
Oh, there's no way. I want to be account zero, the first one. Just me and DT.
It's basically a private chat. So tell me about your McDonald's orders again.
What?
So fish filet, huh? Interesting choice. Wow. That's your
fish
favorite?
Fish bites? Whoa.
That's your favorite?
I've never even seen
even when the McRib's in season.
A lot of like McDonald's wisdom being dispensed upon Hefty, the platform.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. He's starting one.
So that's exciting, you know. I'm always wanting more social media platforms.
I need more
I look at the current landscape and I say, I mean, Facebook, yeah, it's cool in a little way. Twitter, Instagram, go down the list of all these 9 million things. But I just need more, you know.
You know what one's cool? Clubhouse.
Clubhouse, exactly. Yeah, Clubhouse. Clubhouse, it's super cool. You get on there, it's live, okay?
You can follow me on Clubhouse. I'm at Clint Batts.
Funny thing, I'm actually going to be on Clubhouse today at 3 p.m.
with the former president talking about his new social media platform and how it's innovative and changing the game.
This is a real quick stat on Clubhouse for you. I don't mind Clubhouse. Mm-mm. Here's what bothers me about Clubhouse.
Mm.
Every person who uses it, they always have to be telling me nonstop when they're on it. Chris, I'm actually going to be on Clubhouse at 8 o'clock tonight. And I go... If I want, I follow you. I'll know when you're on there, when I'm on there. I don't need you to constantly remind me. Imagine if somebody just always told you when they were on Instagram. Hey, Chris, I'm going to be on Instagram at 3:30, browsing through a bunch of hot chicks' photos. I'm like, why?
In all seriousness, I will be on Clubhouse at 8 p.m. I'd love for you to join me. Now, your birthday's coming up, as we mentioned.
Yeah, thank you.
March 27th is your birthday.
Thank you.
Right in before that. Why are you saying thank you?
Nah, keep going.
None of this is a compliment.
Keep going. I'm just blushing over here. When you don't get a lot of compliments, you take whatever you can get.
Understanding a basic fact about your life.
An easily stated fact. Cheeks start going red. I mean, it is.
So it's your birthday coming up. Big day for all of us.
Yeah, it is.
And what we always do is we say three things we hate about the person whose birthday it is on their birthday. And they're real things. They're not jokes. Like, oh, a little too cute for my taste. That's yeah. One. Oh, a little bit too kind to old people crossing the street. That's two. You know, stupid stuff like that. Real things that we actually hate.
That you can't feel like you can say during the course of the year.
Mm-hmm.
But the birthday, it's a green light special.
Green light.
Oh, man.
Green light special.
It's a green light special.
Hell yeah. And I always thought it was a blue light special at Kmart, but green light, sweet.
Well, you can do any light if you think about it. There's a red light special.
All right, shut up. So there's three things you have to submit to talk about the three things you hate about Chris. You can send it to kelly@thebeehive.com, chris@thebeehive.com. You can hit us up at @thebeehivehq on social media, any of the socials, even Donald Trump's.
Yes, Hefty.
I'm already on Trump's.
At me on Hefty.
It needs to be called Hefty.
At Chili Boy. 6969.
Private Chili here. Former Commander-in-Chief, thank you for your service, sir.
I know. Excuse me, President Trump, as a man who served his country bravely in the mess halls of America.
President Trump, hello.
Look, we all serve in our own way. You know, there's no shame in, you didn't give your life in the line of duty. No, it's a chilly thing.
I think there is some shame in it.
Okay, there's some.
But I think that's part of the appeal.
Is the chilly boy higher than just a normal citizen?
No.
Okay.
The chilly boy's not higher than anybody. You could have said anything after that, and I would have said no. All right, so send your three things
you need
to
do
this.
That now.
Yeah, we're coming up. We're coming up hard against the deadline.
We're coming up hard. I have 5 days to decide if I'm
Both
joining the army.
Both producers are agreeing with what you did there. Like, mm-hmm. Need to do it now.
You're not doing it now. I don't know what you're doing.
I look over them. Oh, he's right.
I'm glad I can't
Well,
see
did they
him.
Need to do it now? They usually like, no.
That's just my military training.
Just wait.
There's no room for procrastination within the United States military, and I apply that same principle to my own life.
Yeah. At 0600 today, you need to have your things in.
Oh, sure. My birthday's not until March 27th. 0600 today, get it in.
What's 0600? Nobody knows.
If you don't do it, we shoot you.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, we put you down.
We'll shoot somewhere.
Think about that.
All right. So three things you hate about Chris, send them in at @thebeehivehq. That's the way to do it. Let's see what's going on in the... Today in the Beehive, I look like a hipster doofus.
Yeah, you kind of do. I never really addressed that at the top of the show because I lost myself in
hipster
the chili.
Hipster doof.
You
this
are...
is what a hipster doofus looks like. I wanted to show the people as the voice of the people starting today.
Oh, I completely forgot.
Today, I am the physical embodiment of the people.
Yeah.
And so what I decided to do, I was like, so what do you do on your first day as the voice of the people, right?
You dress Big like day. A dumbass.
You hop on. You go all in on all the dumb things. So what is this jersey? This is a Pistol Pete old school Utah Jazz jersey. He actually played in New Orleans. He never played at Utah, as far as I understand.
That's
it.
That's hipster behavior.
And so it's like, oh, okay, a jazz fan, but also kind of like New Orleans and culture and Mardi Gras. And oh, it's like one of the older players and nobody knows very much. He is in the Hall of Fame. His name's Pistol. Interesting things. You know, now I have a conversation. Okay. And then to top it all off, I'm like, so how do I improve this bullshit?
Mm-hmm.
Beanie.
Beanie and non-prescription glasses. You forget
beanie
those.
Beanie and like this. There's nothing even in here.
Beanie.
Poke my own eye.
It's not just a beanie. It's a beanie without a logo where you're like.
Smudge the whole show.
This beanie did cost $100, but there's no logo on it. So it just seems like I could have pulled it out of Savers. But in actuality, when we look underneath it, Dolce & Gabbana.
This is a Dolce & Gabbana.
I know, crazy stuff. Yeah. But logo-less on the front.
Yeah, I mean, what do I care about brands?
Yeah, what's the hoodie? What brand's the hoodie?
Well, probably just some Kmart.
I don't know. Hiding up the American Eagle. Eagle.
Whatever they sell at Deseret Industries.
I wore a nice pullover because that's what people wear in my life. You know, my walk of life, if you will.
Mm.
Everybody I come across, they always got nice... they got polos on underneath, which you can see, you know. nice polo. And then, I'll unbutton it even further. People want to see.
Don't unbutton that top button. Do
I
not.
I can show what's going on down in the chest.
Oh, my gosh.
I'll go lower.
Pull it back up.
I'll go lower.
This is a family show.
I'll go lower. I usually keep it here. If you go to the furthest point of the zipper, people think you're too buttoned up. They go, oh, that's just a prude. If you get a little skin so you can easily do what I just did, they're like, that guy's sexual. You know, he knows his way around the bedroom. That's what people think when they see me in an Under Armour.
Knows where like the lights are.
That's what people think when they see a nice Under Armour pullover. Wow, that guy knows his way around the bedroom.
All right, here's the news. This is from Spencer Joseph at Fox 13. Utah mom horrified after son able to access pornography on school given laptop. Okay. So she's horrified that her son was able to access pornography on a laptop that was given to him by the school.
Before you even continue, imagine having to be the school here and you're like, some kid looked at porn on a laptop and now we got to answer for that sin. How's the school going to come? Oh, sure. We have every single block set in place. You can get around any block. Blocks are the most pointless thing in the history of things.
Yeah, blocks is just, you want to turn off this block?
Blocks, it just goes, and you go, yeah, I'd love to. And they go, well, sweet, go at it.
Well, that's what we're here for.
And then
you.
The mom finds out and she goes, the school screwed us over. And the school's like, I got to answer for pornography on the internet? That's such an intense position to be in.
So imagine the school calls you. I think of everything from the lens of a parent, which you are not.
I always think of it from the lens of the school. Because I'm just friends with a lot of administrators.
So I think of it from the lens of a parent. And the school principal calls me, hey, Billy Boy, little junior Billy Boy, he got caught with some pornography on a laptop we gave him. What do you think of that? I'm like, yeah.
I go, well, what's the news? Does he type in? Wait, what's the search keywords?
So like when he does get in there, is there certain words?
So like, tell me what the Google search was first. Oh.
Interesting.
Okay. That's how we found it.
How do you spell that now?
Wow. And it didn't block anything. Wow.
Wow. So what do? You just turn it off when it asks?
So wait, explain to me how the blocks work. Oh, so anybody can access the blocks. And these kids who are infinitely smarter than the adults who are putting the blocks up, when it comes to technology, they can just easily take them down. Of course they can. Here's a really quick story before you continue. Back when I was a kid, I purchased DirecTV for myself, okay? I got a job as a janitor at a credit union. Worked 1 hour a day. I was 12 years old.
I'm so nervous.
True story. So I'm mopping and doing all this stuff, and I got that job with the sole purpose of buying DirecTV because my parents go, we're not getting cable. Cable's of the devil. This is crazy. So I go, get off my back. I'm getting a job, and I'm heading out into the world. So I start making money. Buku bucks, dude. 1 hour a day, minimum wage, $5.15. I'm raking in the money. I go, DirecTV, get here, install it, okay? So DirecTV comes and installs it, and I'm directing this guy out. We need it here, this and this and this, okay? So as part of the agreement, my mom, she had very strict guidelines on what was suitable consumption when it comes to media, mm-hmm. right? And I didn't care because all I wanted to watch was sports.
Porn. Oh, sports.
And, well, porn, but again, that's a whole other story. That was a little bit later. That was like a year later, you know, my 13-year-old.
Once you get your teens.
When I was 13, I lost myself. 12, super just chill dude, okay? Way into sports. So as part of the agreement, I go, you can do it. I don't care. I don't want to watch anything but sports. So I need ESPN. I need Fox Sports, all that kind of stuff. My mom goes, okay, we'll allow you to get this, but I'm going to block every single channel that's not a sports channel, okay? Mm-hmm. And so I go, I don't care. Like, I literally didn't care. So I go, sure, block it, whatever. It doesn't matter to me. So she puts the block in literally the next day. I'm trying to get onto TNT, which shows NBA games, blocked it. And so I go, Mom, you got to come and block this. This is showing a basketball game. So she comes down, and my mom doesn't understand how to work it. So she's like trying to type it in, and she's like, it makes you put in a 4-number code. Yeah. So she's going, oh, blah, blah. So instead of trying to type the code in, she just types it in as a channel, right? So it goes to this 4-digit channel. So I immediately hit back. And I go, no, that's not how you do it. So here, you got to type it into here. And I pretend like I don't see anything. Me, this sly 12-year-old, chased as hell. And so she types it in. She goes, okay, here you go. You can watch the basketball game. Goes upstairs, and I have access to anything now. What? Immediately, just like that. And I was 12. And I'm not saying, my mom's just like, she's not technologically savvy compared to a kid who was in the throes of it, dude. So now I think back to this story, and they're like, yeah, this kid, he got into pornography. Of course, the kid can get into whatever they want.
Yeah.
The parents will always do stuff like my mom did, where they just go, how do you work this blocker? And the kid goes, no, you go into settings, go down to the bottom part. So type in my password. Here it is.
Type in 1111.
So then you click on this. That'll change. Okay, here you go. Next thing you know, all the parents are blocked out. They can't look at porn. And the kid's like, now look, the tables have turned.
We really did put a blocker on my son's phone.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why. My I won't tell you which one. But my son's phone. I'm not going to tell you his name. I'm not going to out him on air as a newsman.
I love that I don't know him unless you say who it is.
I'm not going to tell you who it is.
Yeah.
We put the blocker on. Gone. Within like 2 seconds, all of a sudden, Brooke had a blocker on her phone. No joke.
Correct? See, this is what I'm talking about,
like,
though.
She couldn't access his phone anymore. It was so crazy. It happened so quick.
She can't make calls without his permission. Parker, can I call my friend? He's like, yeah, come here. I'll put the code in. You only got 3 minutes before that shuts off, so make sure the call's brief. These kids know everything when it comes to technology. We're not going to be able to outsmart them. You just have to embrace it. You can't hold the school accountable. The school's a bunch of adults who don't fully know how to use the technology. Okay.
Here's the story. It's great. The mother of a middle school student in Utah was horrified to find that her son had been able to access explicit images on a school-issued laptop. What's the school-issued? Like, they have secret combinations? Jeez.
A school-issued
school, who cares? It's school-issued. It's still a laptop. Is it still a Chromebook? Yeah. So there had been a few instances of things like this happening in the past, but with additions of home security systems and safeguards on the Chromebook, she thought it was safe.
Home security systems.
Vivint. Like, we have Vivint in our house. I'll keep the
porn. So they tap into the webcam? Wait, hold on.
Oh, what's the porn rings the doorbell. We're going to see it. Say, no, you can't come in.
Doorbell rings. It's just someone like me. Hey, so I got a buzz on my phone. Heard that cool stuff was going down here. I don't know what's going on. This is what that makes me think. A home-issued security system makes me think you tap into the person's camera on their phone, and so they can't do any funky business because they're watching there. So you got to, like, play it cool, you know?
Mm.
You go on to, like, if my camera's connected to this to our security system here at the office, and you're like, oh, I better make sure Chris hasn't logged in any of those smut websites he frequents. And you go over to me, and I'm watching it, and I'm loving it, but I'm like, I can't show that I'm watching it. So I'm just pretending like I'm working on them all. That's what the kid's doing, you know?
He like pulls Dear out
a, he pulls out a calculator every so often. He's like, just getting through the old history homework. He's like, wow, he's been grinding out 5 hours of history homework.
Wow, he's doing history with his calculator.
He's really just burning the midnight oil for his classes.
This is what the mom said. It's definitely not something we would want him to have unrestricted access to. Unrestricted. Which makes it sound like we'd like to have some restricted access.
Yeah.
Just not unrestricted.
Yeah, exactly.
I caught some actual pornography on my son's school Google Drive.
What's the difference between pornography and actual pornography?
I don't know. On top of that, she told us that her son had looked up sexually this mom is throwing her son under the bus.
Yeah, this is behind closed doors, lady.
Imagine front page news.
Imagine when I'm 13 and my mom finds out what I've been doing. She's like, Fox 13, you won't believe what Chris did last night.
No, you'll never believe. He looked up sexually inappropriate
memes.
Yeah,
the chili boy, yeah. He just got past the blockade. Let me show you what's in his Google Drive.
And was able to access things on YouTube, which does not allow full pornography.
You can't even watch anything cool on YouTube.
That were less graphic, but still not appropriate for her comfort. How do we know any of this?
So
welcome to the world in 2021.
Big flags just came up as soon as I heard the mom complaining about he's watching stuff on YouTube. Mm-hmm. You can't watch anything worth a lick on YouTube. It's a bunch of, like, bands and blah, blah, blah. It's nothing good, dude. There's no good material. The idea that he's, like, super into what's going on YouTube, I guarantee the kid was so bummed out. He's like, YouTube, this is stupid, you know? What am I going to watch on here? How's Fox 13 calling me for comment about what I've been, you know, my YouTube search history?
This is a great story. The mom reached out to the Jordan School District and the school itself to try and find out what had happened and how she could prevent this from happening again. Here's what she said. She said, "We didn't hear about. We didn't hear from them for several days. They went in panic mode. Everybody in the conference room. Let's not come out until we figure out how we're going to respond.
We've been. We need to find out how to get past these kids' blocks.
Does anybody know what a Google Drive is?
What's this new YouTube website?"
She said, "They finally contacted us after a nudge from the Utah State Board of Education that I contacted on Thursday."
The State Board! They get in their own room for 7 days. They're like, "We got to give them a nudge. What are we going to say here?"
This is a full story. This is a long story. One reason why the Chromebook was able to get around their home security system, which, again, that's not how home security systems work.
Home security is not built for this purpose. It's
that's
to defend your home from physical contact.
That's the doorbell. Somebody rings your doorbell, they pop up like,
hey leave the Amazon package on the porch. It has nothing to do with pornography. That's probably why they're failing at doing it. They go, I bought a Vivint system. I paid $30 a month and my kids look at a bunch of porn.
One of the reasons why the Chromebook was able... Again, it's a Chromebook. What do we think this is? Like some CIA-issued computer? It's a Chromebook. Literally, Chrome is like, do you want filters or not? Like, no.
Correct.
Is because they learned that third-party applications that would normally filter out inappropriate content won't work on school-given laptops since schools still administrate those computers. Another possible reason, she said, is that children are sharing information on how to get around the block.
That might be the bigger one.
Hey, so like there's in settings, go to like blocks and just go to turn off all the blocks.
So
how it works.
I'm going to throw these poor people under the bus, okay? But they deserve it because these parents are sitting at home and they're going, oh my gosh, the school administrators, they've taken over IT duties. And so they're the ones who are going to put these great blockades in place. A school IT person is not a high-level IT person that's ready to just block everybody out from doing whatever they want on the internet. It's just somebody who has the most basic knowledge of computers.
It's our like, friend. We actually have a friend.
Exactly. It's like, I can type 50 words per minute, and that's way faster than everybody else
you
who I teach with.
But
I'm just saying, whatever the parameters are, there's one tiny thing. It's like, I can get into my computer daily because I remember the password. They're like, IT dude, sign him up. We'll pay him a $500 stipend per year.
So the You've also got to teach driver's ed on the weekends.
Yeah, exactly. And then he's up there driving around with some student in Springville and trying to, how do you guys get past these blocks? They're like, look, dude, you just click the setting. It's an on or an off button. There's nothing else you can do. Everybody can access it. You're fighting an uphill battle.
Hey, listen to this. For example, while the word sex, S-E-X, may be blocked, adding two additional letters, such as S-E-X-S-S, in a search would allow the word through since it wouldn't be blocked in the district's IT system.
This is incredible. This is the go-around. So hold on. This is the go-around that's existed for all of time. This is the exact same thing when I was a kid. Any variation of a vile word that you could think of, it's just like, just type it in with two E's or one O or extra S, and I'm just, and everybody could get whatever they wanted. That's all computer class was in school. You're supposed to be typing, everybody's looking at porn because they typed in sex with two S's.
Listen to this. The mom continually throws the son under the bus in this story. This mother says her son is pretty determined. But she said she's confident that such strategies would not naturally occur to him. She's like, this guy's super, my son is super determined
he
to look at porn.
He lacks the brains.
But he's not smart enough to know you could just turn off the block settings.
Look, he's got the will. He doesn't have the smarts. I don't know how else to say that.
We're not talking about a future president of the United States over here.
Look at his grades. I mean, look at his grades even right now.
You think he's going to be Dr. Fauci? No.
Why is this poor kid getting just trampled by his own mom?
It doesn't surprise me to learn that there is some knowledge sharing about this stuff. That's what the mom.
Yeah, at least she said one thing.
You guys heard about the knowledge sharing?
These kids and their knowledge sharing.
The knowledge sharing. This is a statement that the Jordan School District issued to Fox 13 News. We thoroughly investigate all reports of inappropriate use of district-issued electronic devices and accounts and continually enhance security for student safety.
Again, this is the IT person who's making $500 extra per month. Or per year, I mean.
This is how the story ends. They're putting a Chromebook in my child's hands and expecting them to learn to use it. It is their responsibility to resolve this issue.
Interesting. Okay.
What do you think is happening in the world?
Here's my question that always occurs when I hear about parents. So parents, and I guess this is part of the game, so you're going to help me out. Parents always have to hone in on their kids' behaviors and go, this is outrageous and I can't believe it. And all their friends are sharing all their knowledge and this is where this terrible behavior comes from. Okay. And I always look at it in the way of like, you can barely control anything, so you just got to pick the one battle, whatever the battle is, you know. You choose the thing that's most important, and that's what you're going to fight for. And then everything else, you just kind of turn a blind eye. You go, look, is this 13-year-old boy who sits around all day with him and his friends and a bunch of Chromebooks, are they going to be looking at weird photographs on the internet? Probably. I don't want to know about it. I'm just going to bury my head in the sand. If I ever see them doing it, I'll be like, you can't do that. Just don't do that.
You know there's a calculator on that Chromebook. Go ahead and open it up.
So there's actually voice assistant that you can do a lot of cool stuff. Let me show you. The main point being, this can't be the number one priority on this lady's list.
It's 100% the number. Have you met a parent? I'm a parent.
That's what I'm asking.
Parents blame authority figures for their own failures. I do it all the time.
That sounds cool.
I do it all the time.
Why can't we do it for ourselves?
So I'll go to like my son's school. I'll be like, hey, why is my son failing?
They're hey, like, well, why am I a deadbeat dad? The principal. They're like,
hey, why did I show up totally wasted, drunk, 3 hours late to this meeting about my son? Like, that's your fault.
Why did I skip parent-teacher conferences and I'm a deadbeat dad?
This is your issue. Yeah, get your IT guy on it.
Where's the IT man? I'm going to give him a piece of my mind.
I actually was one of these parents over the weekend.
Why? Why?
So my daughter plays accelerated soccer. Oh, not City League. Not City League. She's a little bit better than the average person.
I can't just say my daughter plays soccer. Oh, she's in the accelerated league.
Oh my God.
This is another thing all parents do. They never just say the thing their kid does.
Oh, she's the best player on the team? Probably. Great.
My child.
I don't want to brag.
They're actually in a sixth grade typing class, but they're in fourth grade. Just tell me they're in a typing class. Nobody ever throws their kid under the bus in a conversation where they go, my
kid's... This lady does!
I know, but she wouldn't do it in an actual conversation. She'd talk up whatever...
She'd be like, he's sixth grade typing class, and he's in fourth grade. My son's looking at 12th grade porn. He's in fifth grade.
All the other parents shake their head. And he types 10 words per minute, the lowest in his class currently. He's a dumbass!
Son's just sitting there.
He's like, I can't wait till these people leave so I can get back in those images, dude. That's the life.
Where's my Chromebook?
Man, I can't believe they give us those Chromebooks. Just unfettered access. This kid's way smart. I'm actually a little bit embarrassed that his parents are just whacking on him. That kid's way smart. Okay, wait, continue. You were saying that you yourself were one of these parents, and I interrupted.
So, you know those parents, the terrible parents who always complain about their, like, hey, how come my son or daughter didn't get playing time?
Playing time.
I did that.
Oh, no.
I was like, hey, so what do you think? How come she didn't get playing
time?
No,
you didn't.
And they're like, you're the problem. Like, if you stop coming to the games, it won't matter. Because I get a little rowdy, rough and rowdy.
Yeah.
I get out on the field.
Jostling with the other parent.
Hey, dude!
Why is your daughter in? Just headlocking some mom?
Noogie, say uncle!
But it's my daughter! She gets it! Hostage situation in the crowd?
Whenever my daughter scores a goal, I take off my shirt and run down the field.
That's cool.
Woo!
Hey, that's just a loving parent. There's no shame in that.
She's taking an advanced typing class too, guys. This isn't the only thing she knows how to do.
Just so everybody knows, this is an accelerated soccer team.
Guys all know this is accelerated, right? This isn't just City League.
We
anybody can join.
We pay $10 extra and they get a free t-shirt.
Anyway, all right, that's today. That's today in the beehive.
That's crazy.
Kids are looking at porn on their school-issued Chromebooks. I don't know what to tell you. I could have told you that 16 years ago.
No, yeah, I told everybody that. I was calling Fox 13 and warning them. I go, look, we've lost ourselves, man. I'm 13. Me and my buddies, we don't know what's going on. This is a confusing world. How can we get into anything we want?
So what do you search for as an adult?
Me, the deep throat tip, calling up Fox 13. So the blocker is actually... If you type an extra X, you can get anything you want. Little quick go around. Maybe let the IT people know, you know. What a crazy world, dude. This is the kind of stuff that keeps me up at night, you know. This is the kind of stuff I go on Twitter to find out about, you know, because there's a lot of outrage. You can see that. You go, whoa, whoa, whoa.
There's outrage on Twitter.
My
all the
kid
time.
Does. This is not what my kid deserves.
They're going to be outraged to this segment on Twitter.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what Twitter is.
Oh, that's fine.
We're going to have to defend it. We'll be like, we did not talk about S. E.
I talked about.
Four X's.
I talked about sex. Not to be confused with sex, which is banned on this podcast.
All right. God dang it. Let's talk.
Get me out of here.
Let's talk some sports. Here's No Baller.
So, Clint, I had a very good and a very bad weekend when it comes to sports. It was very bad in the gambling sense. I had my worst two-day stretch of my entire life over Saturday and Sunday. I'm still licking my wounds, you know? I need to go into hibernation for a while. I need to think about life, and then I'm going to come out stronger on the other side. However, the good part, my favorite hockey team, Colorado Avalanche, you know, starting to get into a groove, okay? They had a two-game series against the Minnesota Wild, two of the hottest teams in the NHL coming in. Same division, jostling for the same playoff spot. Everybody's looking at it and going, oh, this is going to be a great hockey series, right? So the Avalanche, who are now playing this two-game series, it is close to as full strength as they've been all season. They've been hit by injuries. They've been doing all these weird things. They've been playing AHLers and all this kind of stuff. They finally have a full roster. So I'm excited because I'm finally getting to watch my favorite team and all the players are there, a bunch of star power and that kind of stuff. And they're playing a good team, okay? So I go, this is going to be great. So the Avalanche. Game one, smash them, 5-1. Game two, smash them, 6-0, okay? So we're coming out of this, and I'm on cloud nine. I'm going, this is phenomenal, okay? Because the Avalanche, I know that probably nobody who listens to this segment is going to watch hockey, but I want you to stick with me, okay? Because this is kind of how controversy arises and how it submarines a conversation, which is something I'm endlessly fascinated by. So I'm on cloud nine, coming out of it. Because the Avalanche are kind of the great experiment for modernized hockey, right? In the past, hockey has been all about strength and grit and power and size and manliness. And if you look cross-eyed at me, I punch your face in. And if you step out of line, I try to whack you with a stick. And it's just this kind of barbaric sport. That's
now
what hockey
it's a little
was.
Bit more dainty.
Now it's a little daintier, right? So in the endless search to always find avenues to win, one of those things that has happened within the game of hockey is as the game has gotten a little more open, and rules have cracked down more on, okay, like this old school style of defense where you could just maul people. We don't really love that, and it doesn't make for the funnest of products. Let's try to create more space, so let's crack down a little more on penalties. Let's take away the two-line pass. Now we're opening up a lot more ice, and it gives room for people with skill to flourish, okay? So the Avalanche are the experiment for this in the actual modern era because they've built an entire roster solely upon speed and skill, which is something in the past you would never see in a million years, right? They don't care how big you are. They don't care how willing you are to go and punch somebody in the face. All that they cared about from a roster construct standpoint is, are you very skillful and are you fast and quick, okay? So they built this entire roster, which, again, would not exist even 10 years ago, much less 40 years ago. So they haven't won anything yet, but they're on this trajectory of, wow, this team looks completely set up to contend for a Stanley Cup for the next decade, right? Everybody on the team is young. Everybody on the team is skillful. They have stars at the very highest level. They have depth. And so I'm looking at it as a fan going, okay, this is my time. This is the time where people on a national level, they're going to be talking about the Colorado Avalanche. This is going to be the team to carry the banner forward of like, look, people who aren't interested in hockey, if you ever are going to get into it, this is the style of team you would watch. It's fast. It's quick. You see things and you don't have to know anything about hockey to go, whoa, what was that? That spinorama pass shot, that was crazy. Oh, this is kind of cool. Maybe I'll get more into hockey, right? So they're the team that you would look at to say, hey, maybe this is somebody who will get more people interested in the sport, right? So back to the two-game set with Minnesota. There's a tweet that's sent out from a beat writer. His name's Michael Russo. He's a Minnesota Wild beat writer, just some old crusty man. And in the first game, there's a stat that's being passed around during the course of the game. The Avalanche are just dominating play. Again, they end up winning 5-1 in the game. They're dominating play. So a stat comes up on the screen where they go, The Avalanche are leading the NHL in shot differential. Just how many shots I've attempted versus how many shots my opposition has attempted, mm-hmm. right? They've over doubled the next closest team in hockey, right? Which just insinuates this team is controlling play at a level that's almost incomprehensible relative to the rest of the league, okay? So they put that out there and they go, this is a crazy stat. Like, the Avalanche are just kind of like dominating in a way that we haven't really seen in quite some time. And granted, it's a small sample size, but it's speaking to this greater thing of, okay, maybe you can build a hockey team like this and win, right? So this stat comes out, and Michael Russo on Twitter, as the crusty Minnesota man that he is, he comes in, he goes, oh yeah, like, that's cool and all, but check out what constitutes a shot on goal when Colorado's playing at home and their scorekeeper is the one doing it. So he shares this clip of just like a wrist shot that's coming in, and you can't really tell if it's on goal or not. The goalie grabs in their glove and they blow the play dead and they have a face off. But that's counted as a shot on goal for purposes of the actual statistic, right? And so he starts making fun of it and he goes, I mean, yeah, this, sure, you can have this great big differential when you count stuff like this as a shot on goal, okay? So the game ends, and Colorado outshoots Minnesota in that game 55-20. Sets a franchise record for shot differential within an individual game, plus 35, right? And so you would think at the end of a game like this, Minnesota had won, I believe, 8 straight games going into that game, and they got thumped. Colorado, first game at full strength, looked awesome. You would think the talking point coming out of this would be like, wow, so Colorado looks like they are the team to beat in the West and maybe the team to beat in the league right now, okay? And instead, this tweet like raised the ire of a lot of people. So it turned into an argument of, well, yeah, what constitutes a shot on goal? And can we actually use this as a stat when this is going on? So then you have people wading in. So the Avalanche side is very angry. You know, your Avalanche fans are coming in, they're going, well, we still outshot them 55-20, and okay, take away 3 shots and it's still 52-20, who cares? And then the other side's going, well, yeah, but you're just inflating statistics. And so instead of getting the talking points that I want coming out of the game, which is, again, Colorado, this is the funnest team to watch in the league, let's start talking about that and really pumping them up as the banner carrier of the league, we're now dragged down into the mud of a debate about a statistic that is truly meaningless. Like, a good comp would be if you were sitting at the end of an NBA game, the Jazz play somebody and they play, and the Jazz thump, and you're going, wow, this is really cool, this is sweet. And at the end of the game, the argument is, how many potential assists did Donovan Mitchell have? Which is, again, completely dependent upon the scorekeeper and a meaningless stat in reality, right?
Mm-hmm.
Donovan Mitchell finished with 7 assists, but he had 18 potential assists. Opportunities where he set up a person to score, and 7 of the times they converted, and the other 11 times they didn't. It would be the same thing as arguing about that at the expense of anything else you could talk about when it comes to the game or the player or the construction of the roster, any of the million different threads that you could pull out of the current Colorado Avalanche hockey team. So me, a person who is like, I just want to hear about the things that I think are entertaining about the game, and it's not this. We go into the Saturday game, which was the 6-0 Colorado Avalanche win, and still, even throughout the broadcast, this is being brought up as like, okay, shots, there's been this little shots on goal thing. So the Avalanche, yes, they are whomping everybody in differential, but now we got a little bit more of a conversation about how that's happening, which is, again, a completely irrelevant subject. It's just one small indicator of how you measure a team controlling play, right? And so now I'm stuck at the point where it's strange watching in real time how a conversation can be completely submarine by one tiny thing. When the Michael Russo tweet went out initially, I kind of laughed at it, and I was just like, I read it as a sour grapes tweet. I just go, yeah, that's just somebody who's sour about this game, and they definitely know that Colorado's a better team than Minnesota, and that's setting in right now. And like, if I were on the flip side of it, and Colorado is getting whomped by somebody, like, there's always something that I nitpick about the other team. That's just how fans work. That's fine. The problem is, I can see something like that that seems like such a throwaway, and then 3 days later, I go, oh my gosh, this was the actual shaper of the conversation for over a 3-day spell about the most entertaining team in hockey.
Does it freak you out that sports writers do not actually like sports or the teams they cover?
Yeah, it's always weird.
They don't like them.
The second
they
part,
don't like the teams they cover. In fact, most sports writers that I can think of are like openly hostile to the team that they cover.
I have a weird theory about that. It's because of this bizarre part of the media that for all of time they go, we are unbiased and we just give it to you straight, which is completely untrue and impossible to do.
And who cares? It's sports.
And
it's a game. It's literally a game.
Who cares in anything, but especially in sports? So in order to like show people that they are unbiased and I give it to you straight, instead of just saying, hey, Oh, the Jazz are playing pretty good right now. Here's some of the stats. Here's this and this and this going on. They feel like they have to go out of their way to show that they are unbiased by then nitpicking at a team that's doing good.
Not just go out of their way. They act as though it's courageous what they're doing. They're like, you know, after like a Jazz loss, Donovan Mitchell didn't play well. I know a lot of people won't want to hear that, but it's my job. And as a reporter, it's my job to We watched the game.
This is a very interesting subject.
We know if he did well or not.
When it comes to the Jazz and following local reporting on it, because, and again, I don't fault people who have to cover the team on a day-to-day basis. That's a very hard job to do. To come up continually with talking points and discussion points, that is very hard to do. However, when you're coming up with points directly after a game, that's actually very easy to do because all you have to do is say, this is what happened. Here are my takeaways from the game that are based upon actual facts. Donovan Mitchell in crunch time shot this. Rudy Gobert defensively, here are his metrics from this game. Like, you can easily identify these things. The Jazz ran more pick and rolls than they normally do. Here's how many times they did that relative to their normal game-to-game basis, all that kind of stuff. Instead, it always turns into the talking points are these, like, really high-level points of, okay, Donovan Mitchell played well against Toronto in the Jazz last game, especially in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Talking point coming out of the game, Donovan Mitchell is clutch. Okay, we're less than a week removed from the exact opposite post-game takeaway. It's not Donovan Mitchell was clutch in this game, and he played well. Let me tell you about the three-pointer he hit and this take to the hoop and all these kinds of things. It's Donovan Mitchell is clutch because of this game. Less than a week earlier, Donovan Mitchell is actually bad in the clutch. Here's what happened in this game. You know what I'm saying?
None of that bothers me except for like, and I am the brave one telling you this. It's like, we watched the games. That's the weird thing. It's like, we're watching the games. Like, we know if Derek Favors played bad or not. We don't. There's nothing brave about what you're doing. You literally write about sports. Just enjoy it. Have some fun with it. Stop getting mad at all of us.
It is very interesting, the idea that you have to spoon feed thought and opinion and analysis in the realm of sports, where I assume without fail, almost everybody is consuming whatever you're talking about in some form. You know, there's nobody who is just a random passerby who goes and reads a five takeaways from the Jazz game article.
What I'm saying? They don't watch the game. They don't do anything.
And don't follow the Jazz.
But they read the article like, man, that reporter was brave.
Exactly.
Can't believe he's willing to say that Derek Favors hasn't played well in the past five games.
This ties into my number one pet peeve when it comes to sports reporting, which is you should come in with the assumption that is actually true. The vast majority of the people who are reading or consuming your content, they know a decent amount, and actually, like, a lot of times, a decent amount about the subject that you're talking about. So when you're actually giving analysis after a game or on your thoughts and opinions, you just do that in a manner that is talking to people of that ilk. You know, it's not talking to the dumbest version of that person.
It's way funny, too. It's like, the data guys. It's like, I'm a data guy. So let me get you behind the scenes. It's like basketballreference.com.
Right. It's sports synergy, which again, you can just go, everybody can go and access these things. I love data as much as the next person, but anybody can do this stuff.
We have access to that too. I don't know. What are you doing? They're acting like they're doing math problems for us. Like, oh, you'll never believe. Actually, Donovan, not good.
So
fascinating. I'll show you my work.
So true shooting percentage this year, actually, now that you're here on Basketball Reference.
All right, just like have fun. You're writing about sports. Stop getting mad at us. It always freaks me out when they're mad at us.
Yeah.
But why are you mad at us? Why are you mad at the team? This is a game.
Yeah.
Nothing about this is brave or courageous.
No, I agree with you. I just wish there was some way of like, I wish there was some way of having a discussion that was about the thing. It doesn't even matter what the realm is. I don't even care if it's sports at this point. I just want to see a discussion. I go, you know what? That's a real discussion. That wasn't based on some tweet about shots on goal. You know? Okay, cool. I don't even need to be interested. I just want to see that. That's my only request.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Good luck in your journey.
Thank you.
If you're on a Chromebook, turn off the blocker.
I'm going to turn to the only area that's never turned its back on me moving forward. My trusty school-issued Chromebook.
Let's get to why, though.
It is Monday, and as everybody knows on the Why Though segment, Monday is Country Music Monday, where we read a country music song. We talk about the lyrics. We dissect them like the fine works of art that they are. Mm-hmm. And then we go about our day in happiness and
peace.
You
don't need to tell people what we do after.
We go.
Just explain this segment.
Let me just tell you a little bit about what goes
you don't
on.
You give them the full schedule for the day.
Let me tell you what goes on a Monday night in the Roll household. 6 p.m. sharp. So I got a Chromebook that I keep at home. And there are no limits to that bad boy. All right, country.
It is slow.
It's slow loading, but like that's part of the thing that just gets you revved up. You go, oh man, I loaded this webpage an hour ago. I'm almost to the end, you know?
All right, here's our artist for the day. Okay. And I mean artist. Tim McGraw.
Oh, Timbo, as I call him.
Taylor Swift wrote a song about Tim McGraw. It was called Tim McGraw.
We did it one time on Why, though. I remember
so
well.
So good.
Actually.
Oh, my gosh. When you think Tim McGraw.
It's a bad song. But lyrically speaking, it was better than most songs we talk about.
Yeah.
You know? But the song.
She's a genius.
Taylor's a genius.
Team Swift.
Team Swift. Who's the other team?
Katy Perry?
I don't know who her rival is. Does she have a rival?
No. I don't think
Tell
so.
Me more about Taylor Swift. You seem to know so much.
All right, Tim McGraw. Tim McGraw put out... Everybody knows who Tim
McGraw's
is.
Bald,
He's
right?
He's big.
Oh, Tim McGraw, expert fisherman,
oh,
six-pack.
My.
So we're looking at a picture of Tim McGraw.
We're looking at pure beef there.
He caught two exotic fishes. He's wearing
a
raggedy
hat. Yeah, talking about
the
hat. Beef. Like, you could grill those up.
He's got a six-pack. I love that you're weighing to the idea of grilling fish with Tim
you
McGraw.
You grill those up. Yeah, I mean, that body's okay. I have a better one. But the fish, like, you don't catch fish like that often.
I want a picture of you shirtless where you're holding up two small Tim McGraws. Beef on beef crime, dude.
I didn't push it. My wrist hurt. All right.
I think you and Tim McGraw would get along well. It seems like you care about similar things, you know? The male body, fish. Dad hats, that's very good, yeah. He's got a lot of similar things to you, dude.
Yeah, that's basically me. So that's me with my shirt off holding two giant fish. Anyways, I don't know what that has to do with Tim McGraw. Tim McGraw put out a song called Do You Want Fries With That?
Is Tim McGraw the same guy who sang about barbecue sauce getting spilled on somebody's shirt?
Barbecue sauce.
How is this guy so messy at eating?
Kill me in that miniskirt.
Can this guy honestly clean up for once in his life?
He's messy just like me.
You guys have so much in common.
We're the exact same person.
Clint, hey, Tim, do you ever just spill barbecue sauce onto your abs?
He's like, no, and stay away from me. Stop asking to touch him, you freak. Gosh, I'm here to like spend a relaxing day catching exotic fish on the beach. All your, dude, your hands are all over me, dude. Mustard hands.
All right, Tim McGraw, do you want fries with that? Here's how it goes. I thought that was your voice. I thought that was my car. Now, we ain't ever met before, but I know who you are. You're living in my house, and I'm living in a tent. And don't laugh, this second job of mine, it's paying both our rents. You're out here buying Happy Meals, and I'm eating rice and pintos. You so much as crack a smile at me, man. I'll come through this here window.
Wait, is he talking to a man? I might need you to reread all of that. That was like being in a dream. It was almost like a Bob Dylan lyric where at first I thought I knew what he's talking about. And then I go, he's in a tent? And it threw me off so bad that then the next thing I heard is he's like talking to some dude.
Why are Happy Meals better than rice and
pintos? He goes, listen, man, I would easily rather have rice and pintos than a Happy Meal.
Yeah.
I'm not Donald Trump over here.
Why is Happy Meals? Anyways, so what I think is happening is this person that came up to the drive-thru that Tim McGraw is working at.
So Tim McGraw lives in a tent and he works in a drive-thru?
He works at McDonald's. This is what I'm getting so far.
But he can't.
Tim McGraw works at McDonald's.
But he can't eat the leftovers, so he has to go home with rice and pintos.
That's haughty. At your drive-thru.
I love the guy we saw. Imagine if you went to McDonald's. Some shirtless, ripped as hell dude. You want any ranch, extra ranch with that? That's 25 cents extra. Oh, keep it, dude. Where'd you get that body, dude? Holy cow. Rice and pinto diet? No way. Maybe there's something to be said. He's pissing all over this rice and pinto diet. How did he get that body?
He's looking good.
He's eating carbs. He's eating protein.
He does whatever he wants.
There's good fiber in there. And then he goes and he works out after his shift.
If I meet Tim McGraw, I'm going to be like, do what you want. You burned it.
He goes, what do you mean by that? You go, well, just in general. I wasn't saying with me.
Do what you want. All right, so it continues. Well, you took my wife, and you took my kids, and you took that life that I used to live. This guy kidnapped his wife and kids?
Okay, wait, go back. I need you to...
Why did he kidnap? He's talking to a kidnapper?
You can call the police. Does he think because he's working at McDonald's, he doesn't have access to the normal laws? He goes, I really wish I could call the police, you know. I'm living in a tent. And you, I gotta serve you a Happy Meal after you kidnap my wife and children at your house?
I don't care for you, sir.
Imagine if you kidnapped somebody's wife and kids.
I would not be doing this.
First of all, why'd you take the kids as part of the kidnapping? That's a whole bizarre thing.
Why'd you take the wife?
Kids
makes more sense to me.
You kidnap some McDonald's employee's kids. Like, hey, just come and hang out. It'll be cool. They're like, wow, you're
kids
way
are
better.
Way fun.
You're way better than dad. When do I get my Chromebook? I'm all, oh, so needy. I'll take you back to your dad's tent.
I love kids because they can unlock things.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a kidnapping, so that's a little bit morally questionable. You just got a bunch of IT kids.
Well, how do I work this Comcast system?
Bunch of IT employees in your house now. You're like, I can't get the dish to work. They go, sometimes there's snow on it. I'll go up and clean it off. It's working!
So I don't know why I took his wife. The kids, I understand. Because you need an IT department.
Yeah, okay. I need you to go back and start reading from the part when he says man. Read that line and then go keep going forward.
All right.
I need to get to the bottom of this.
I'm just
going to
go quick. I thought that was your voice. I thought that was my car. Now, we ain't never met before, but I know who you are. You're living in my house, and I'm living in a tent. And don't laugh, this second job of mine is paying both our rents. You're out here buying Happy Meals, and I'm eating rice and pintos. You so much as crack a smile at me, man. I'll come through this here window.
Okay, now I understand everything.
Okay.
I understand it with great depth.
Uh-huh.
I really do.
What?
So here's the stage that needs to be set. I couldn't comprehend what was going on. I was getting torn in every direction. Somehow, this guy moved in with his wife and kids into his house.
Stole them.
Which is fine. That happens in life. I'm not getting on the guy's case. We don't know anything about that guy.
To do that. I don't think it's fine.
The bigger issue is this guy is paying for that mortgage and living expenses with a drive-through McDonald's job.
Yeah, no one's doing well here.
Which I don't understand how that's working.
He's paying both rents. One's a tent, right?
One's a tent, so that's out the window. Oh, I'm puffing my chest out because I'm paying two mortgages. It's a tent. It was $50 at Walmart. You already paid the mortgage. The actual mortgage he's trying to pay for is a McDonald's employee. He better be working a lot of hours. Because if there's kids, plural, a wife, an extra man, who he's, again, for reasons unknown, paying for. How does
that
work?
Was it part of the kidnapping letter? It's like, and you have to pay our mortgage. And I'm going to see you
in the
drive-thru.
Hey, I have your wife and kids. We're at your house. I'm treating them really well. You got to pay the mortgage indefinitely or I won't return them.
Why did he? I don't care.
And this guy's in a tent. How did he even get the letter to the place? That's another issue. These male workers, they know where everybody is. You can't just send it to a P.O. box. That guy's not checking a P.O. box. So they take it directly to his tent. He opens it. Rake me over the coals for some hostage money. Now I got to get a second job. So what's his first job? You know,
it doesn't say.
It sounds like he's probably doing super well because, again, you couldn't pay all these expenses as an employee of McDonald's. McDonald's does not pay their employees that well. So his first job, he's probably like, maybe he's an IT guy, like a nice normal employee.
When I worked at McDonald's, it was the best time of my life.
Well, yeah, I'm not saying the time is bad, but the pay.
They treated me well, and the pay was excellent.
Did you work the drive-through? Did you work
I worked the fries.
Okay, you worked the fries. So you really...
I was a fry boy. Hey, we need more fries. What? What is that? How do you do
so
that?
So I just lower it down into this thing of grease.
How do you do that? What's this? Is this grease? Guys, it's not even hot.
Oh, they're done. It's 20. Guys, the grease is 20 seconds.
Grease isn't even hot.
You guys
finished really well.
Are you guys having as much fun as I am? All these just downtrodden adults paying for hostage money. They're like, how is this guy so happy, man?
Is that your ex-wife and kids and the guy who stole it? We gotta get him those Happy Meal fries, bitch!
I gotta channel what this guy's doing.
Should we call the police and give him the fries?
I love the employee at the window pulls you aside after they go through. So funny story. That guy's holding my wife and kids hostage. And I paid for them to live in my old house.
Well, the best I can do is give them a fry, complimentary fry.
You're like, wait, what? You're paying for a hostage? And the guy, what? How can you afford all this?
All right, here it continues. Well, you took my wife and you took my kids and you took that life that I used to live. My pride, the pool, the boat, my tools, my dreams, the dog, the cat. Yeah, I think that's just about everything. Oh, I almost forgot. Do you want fries with that?
So he's a huge winner for at least being able to pawn off the dog and the cat as part of the hostage situation. Because it could be worse. He could be living in a tent with a dog and a cat. And he goes, this is all I got out of that whole hostage situation. And everybody goes, that's the one thing you took, was the dog and the cat.
That's so, the whole negotiation.
Yeah, exactly. So at least the kidnapper, he goes, I mean, I could be a huge dick and just like really just bury this dude by pawning off one thing instead of the dog and the cat. I'll take him with him. You know, we'll keep him in the garage. We won't let him inside, whatever. But at least we'll keep him around.
This guy had a pool, a boat, tools, and dreams.
He was well off, yeah.
And now he's asking me to get fries for the kidnapper?
Why can't he have dreams anymore? I don't get that. It seems like this is a great place for this guy to start over.
Once your wife and kids get kidnapped and you're serving fries...
You can just leave.
No more dreams.
I thought... So I would think
when
it would be
bed,
the opposite.
Dark, black.
This is my understanding of the situation. Oh, everybody gets in this situation...
Oh, I'm the big corporate guy. I got the boat and the house and the wife and the kids, and I'm living the American dream.
But then you peel back the layers of the onion. You go, oh, man, actually, all my dreams, I wanted to be a French fry cook, and I wanted to live in a tent, and I want to do all these exotic things that now I can't do because I have all these responsibilities. So then this guy's presented with the opportunity, you know? Mm-hmm. Kidnapper comes in, bam, act of God, mm-hmm. who goes, Go ahead, pursue your dreams. And instead of taking advantage of that, now he's moping around in his tent.
I don't even have any dreams anymore.
You can do whatever you want, dude. Very few people late in life get the opportunity to just drop everything and start a new life.
Very few people in general just leave their life and do what they always dream of doing. I've only met one person in my life who's done it.
Tim McGraw.
No, not Tim McGraw. There was this guy back east. Okay. Back east.
If this guy kidnapped your wife and kids and he's living with them, I'm going to be freaked out.
No, this guy did exactly what he wanted to do. So he's living back east. He's working at a Cinemark.
Is this Steve Jobs or
somebody? Great job. Cinemark. He's like, I'm working at Cinemark. This is a great job for me. But my dream is to become a tampon.
Oh, yeah. Okay. This is actually not a joke. We've talked with this person.
So I met him.
We both have.
I feel like he's going to kill me. To this day, that's how I'm going to die.
Correct.
But this guy's like, you know what? This Cinemark job is great, but what I want to be is a tampon. So what did he do? He quit his job and he practiced being a tampon by putting a sleeping bag. Like he'd get really tight in the sleeping bag. He just lay there for like 12 hours.
Correct. He would zip it up as tight as he could and he'd just have to sit there.
And so I
as condensed as the human body could be.
So when I hear that, obviously I reached
out.
That
was actually inspirational.
Yeah, I reached out to him. I'm like, hey, how are you? He's like, I'm just laying here.
I don't got a lot to do.
I'm just laying here. And he starts doing this trek from back east to the west.
Yes.
Okay. And he gets going. He's about a mile in. He has to stop, obviously. Pitches a tent. Gets in his sleeping bag. Calls me.
Yes.
This is
all a true story. This is the true inspirational tale of America.
He calls me. He gets in the sleeping bag, and I record a podcast with him.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, man, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And he gives us his little spiel. Next day, he goes home. Too far.
Yeah. There was a lesson in there, and it's that if you reach too high for your dreams, you can't obtain them, you know? You got to do
it in
steps.
That's the only guy I've ever known, the only person that I've ever known, who legitimately tried to follow their dreams. They failed.
He tried.
But he legitimately tried to follow his dreams.
Yeah. Maybe it's a once-in-a-generation thing, you know? There's one person every generation that does it.
All right, continue. Your ketchup's in the bag and a check is in the mail. I hope your chicken's raw inside and I hope your bun is stale. Wait. Your ketchup's in the bag and a check is in the mail. Did he send a
check?
He's
paying for the ransom situation. Come on, let's keep up here.
But why did he put it in the mail at the exact same time he's serving him?
Yeah, he could have just handed it to him. He goes, the $400 is in the bag.
Why don't you just hand him the check? He's right there.
Don't cash it until Friday because I don't get paid till Thursday.
Your ketchup's in the bag and a check is in the mail. I hope your chicken's raw inside and I hope your bun is stale. I'm supposed to tell you please come back, but how about this instead? I hope you both choke on a pickle.
Yeah, this guy's not in a good headspace. He doesn't seem like he wishes the best on everybody around his life.
Doesn't even rhyme.
I'm not going to sit there and be vindictive.
This is anger.
Let's say I'm sitting there, and I'm the big corporate guy that I talked about, and then somebody swoops in and kidnaps all my loved ones. I'm not going to sit there and be vindictive. Oh, I hope my wife and kids who were kidnapping are going to choke on a pickle too. No, I'm just going to go, you know what? The kidnapper had their reasons. I wish them all the best, frankly. I'll keep sending the check, sure. Whatever, but I'm not going to sit here and go cry about it in my tent at nights, you know? In my tent, that's my time. I'm going to save up money and get a Chromebook. Just look at vile stuff.
I hope you both choke on a pickle. Man, that would tickle me to death. I don't know what you're waiting on. You're holding up the line. Oh, man, you ain't got no change coming back. Are you out of your mind?
So, this is illegal. You can't keep the guy's change, even if he has your family ransom.
Now, this guy is committing a crime. Yeah. Two criminals.
Two criminals. One, oh, you thought you were so much higher than the other.
All right. And then it ends with you. Well, you took my wife and you took my kids and you took that life that I used to live. My pride, the pool, the boat, my tools, my dreams, the dog, the cat. Yeah, I think that's all there is. Do you want fries with that?
I love the idea of Tim McGraw, the like most ripped dude in country music.
In the world.
Just sitting there working at a fast foods place because his wife was taken and his kids were taken. And he's like, my fallback is McDonald's. I kind of agreed upon that a long time ago. I think you just, again, this is a win. You know, you have a chance to start anew.
You can call the FBI.
You can call the FBI.
I really think that's like their main job. It's like, hey, somebody went missing. That's us.
Imagine when he musters up the courage years down the road. He goes, I got kind of a hostage situation. I wonder if you guys could help out. They go, tell me what's going on. He goes, I've been working at McDonald's and paying the mortgage of my house for like 6 years. And this guy, he actually kidnapped my wife and kids. They go, well, how do we tie in? He's like, what's the like legality of the situation? Can I prosecute? They go, yeah, well, yeah. He's like, so I didn't have to work at McDonald's this whole time. Interesting. I should have probably thought that through. This guy needs a nice lawyer, you know, maybe just even a public defender. I think if you get the basic amount of knowledge, they could go, you got a case, buddy. You can build
better
something.
Better call Saul.
Better call Saul. Saul Goodman.
All right, that's today's Country Music Monday. Tim McGraw, do you want fries with that? And now, dear Utah. All right, today on Dear Utah, we have a text message was sent to us from a person named Cody. We're not going to give the last name.
Okay.
But Cody sent us this text, and I think it's a good question, and it's directed directly to you, Chris. So I'm not going to say anything. This is yours. It's a Dear Chris Rawl.
Wow.
Chris Rawl in particular.
My star is finally starting to rise.
They're like, Clint, don't even say anything about this. This
Clint,
is all
keep your mouth
so,
shut.
So I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to ask you the question. You're going to respond, and we're going to end the show. Here we go. What does diversity mean to you and businesses in Utah? Is it a genuine goal of companies to be more diverse or hop on the bandwagon before you get called out? And let me just say before you answer, because I think you need a little bit of time. It's fascinating that they wanted you to respond to this. They're like, do not let Clint respond to this. I would. I have thoughts here, but it was directed to you.
So this actually is an interesting question, and it can be applied a lot across a lot of various it can be applied across a lot of things, okay? What I mean by that is we always want a cut and dry answer when it comes to things like this, you know? Silicon Slopes, one of the main causes that they have don't get me wrong here.
Don't throw me into this.
Silicon Slopes, one of the main causes they've championed is diversity. Okay. And so once you start getting into those issues, everyone always wants a cut and dry answer of, is every single person and company all into this or are they all out? Okay. Which comes into either, are these people genuinely invested or are these people just paying lip service to a cause that is reasonable? But also, if you came out and said, I am against diversity, people would be like, well, you just kind of seem like an ass, right? The answer, as always, is somewhere in the middle of those things, which is there are a reasonable amount of people and companies within here and elsewhere that are genuinely invested in this as an issue. And I think that has shown over the last couple years. There's also a subset of people that are paying lip service to that that probably do not care about the issue, but feel like they need to lead out on the issue. And in actuality, they're just like, I'm doing this because I feel public pressure to do so. The answer is always in the middle. There are people that are going to be on both sides of that spectrum. That's my take on the question. There's really no way of knowing, is the main point. You have any thoughts there, Clint? You want to take a... I know that you've never talked about this issue before.
They didn't want me to say anything.
And they didn't want you to say anything?
It was that's fascinating. You did good.
Thank you.
Good answer.
The answer...
I mean, I have a lot of thoughts. I disagree with everything you just said, but I can't talk about it.
When it comes to causes that people are passionate about, always, the answer will be somewhere in the middle. There will be people who are genuinely invested in it. There will be people who pretend to be invested in it that are not. Everybody else will fall somewhere in the middle of that spectrum. There you go.
I would have loved to talk about that.
I would love to get your thoughts on it, but I mean...
We don't have time.
We don't have time.
That's the show. Signing off for Chris Raw, Kelly Jensen, and Weston Tanner. My name is Clint Batts, and this has been another episode of The Beehive.